Today on The Journey, a special interview with Pastor Steve DeWitt.
We redeem our loneliness by trying to fix other people's loneliness. Or to say it this way, the love of God through us mitigates loneliness in us. This is the inversion of what people, again, typically try to do. They try to fix their loneliness by addition, and I'm urging to fix the loneliness by subtraction.
Welcome to The Journey with Steve DeWitt, senior pastor and Bible teacher at Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana. Today on The Journey, we're taking a break from our regular teaching schedule to sit down for a special interview with Pastor Steve. He'll be joining us for a full half hour to prepare us for the upcoming new series and to tell us about his brand new book, all about redeeming the ache of loneliness. You can listen online at thejourney.fm. Well, Steve, it's great to be with you here today.
Great to be with you, Tim, and love this topic, and I'm delighted to be able to talk with our listeners about it.
Well, Steve, it's been a few months since you and I have been in the studio together here, so why don't you just catch us up on your family and Bethel Church a little bit?
Well, we're all doing well. I have two younger daughters, and today my youngest daughter got braces. That's our big news in the home. Mm-hmm. But school is wrapping up, and we're looking forward to a summer. We've got a few trips and some fun things we're planning. Parents out there can relate to the joy and the sadness of seeing your kids grow up, and I'm certainly in that category right now. But the DeWitts are doing well. Thanks for asking.
All right. Well, Steve, nobody wants to admit that they're lonely, but loneliness is something that we all feel, and I'm sure for many in our audience, loneliness is something that they're actually struggling with right now. You've just written a brand new book. It's titled Loneliness, Don't Hate It or Waste It, Redeem It. So tell me, what's the kind of the backstory? What inspired you, for those that don't know you, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, Tim, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you know my story, but The average listener probably doesn't. So my story is that I went into ministry when I was in my mid-20s. I pastored and enjoyed being around people. In 1997, I became the senior pastor at Bethel Church, and for 15 years, I pastored the church as a single man. And I always hoped to be married, wanted to be married, wanted a family, and in God's plan, that wasn't His plan for me. And so I had a lot of time alone. I mean, a lot of time. I calculated I had 8,000 nights of single aloneness, and as a pastor and a wannabe theologian, I had a lot of time to think about, why do I have this ache in my heart? Like, what is this, and why do I feel this way, and what does the Bible have to say about it? And so over the years, I wrote an article or two on the subject of loneliness and kind of thought about it intentionally. I got married and have been married for now almost 12 years. And so I've been on both sides of the marital status and have experienced aspects of loneliness on both sides of that as well. Further, I would say as a pastor, I see so many people that similarly feel isolated from loved ones, or they feel estranged, or you think about the COVID pandemic and how that exacerbated what was already a cultural problem. So that these days, hardly a week goes by where there isn't a new medical study on the epidemic of loneliness around the world. We are the most socially connected people in the history of humanity, and we are simultaneously the most lonely people in the history of humanity. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a huge space of hurt and challenge that I have lived in profound ways in my own life. And I decided to write this book in the hopes of changing the way people look at their loneliness. And that's part of my burden is that I think that people don't understand why they feel lonely, and therefore the cures to their loneliness that they turn to and hope for are also dissatisfying. And so the title summarizes the book well, Loneliness, Don't Hate It or Waste It, which I think most people to some degree resent their loneliness, and in resenting it end up wasting their loneliness. And I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, hey, let's redeem this loneliness, because I think that's what God intended loneliness to be in us. And so the book unpacks that. I tell my story and my own experience, and I have a lot of tips in the book about how to redeem our loneliness. But the backstory is that I was a pastor. I was told recently by some experts on megachurches that I was the only never married megachurch pastor in the United States. My experience wasn't that I didn't have people around. I had thousands of people around. I was lonely in a crowd. And so my experience certainly shapes my perspective, but I think the overall message of the book is very relevant no matter what category of loneliness you're experiencing.
Yep. Steve, I was reviewing a couple of your sermons on loneliness, and a couple things just kind of like jumped out at me that I didn't know before. To the person who says, "Hey, what's the big deal about loneliness?" The UK, you said, they now have a minister of loneliness, so they're acknowledging it's a problem. And you also said loneliness has the same effect on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. I mean, when I read that, I was like, surely that can't be true, can it? I mean, like, is loneliness will actually physically affect you that way?
Well, that's not my summary. That's the medical community that is studying the effects of the stress and the emotional ache of loneliness. It has a psychosomatic effect on us that physically impairs the health of our body and our entire outlook on life. There are startup companies now trying to solve the problem of loneliness and to make money doing so. Like, loneliness is its own cottage industry, both in people that are wanting to share their loneliness and also people that are wanting to help and cure loneliness. I believe the answers are found in the Bible and the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. We'll get to the cure of loneliness, I promise, here at some point. Steve, your title says to redeem it. So your approach to writing a book here is maybe a little bit different, but you encourage people to use loneliness. So that's probably something that most people, including myself, have never really thought about. When you say don't hate it or waste it, redeem it, like, how could somebody use loneliness? How can they redeem it?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand why we feel lonely in the first place. And the answer to that in the Bible goes all the way back to Genesis 1. So we think about Adam there in the garden. Made in the image of God. God made Adam to reflect himself. And we look into the Trinity and we see that the Trinity is a social group, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They love one another. They are completely satisfied in one another. They derive joy in one another. And so when God designed and engineered humanity, He blessed us by building into us the same capacity and desire socially. It's in our nature. We are hardwired for this. Now, this is vertical with God and horizontal with others. And so there's Adam in the garden. He is not lonely. The Bible doesn't say that Adam was lonely. I don't think he was lonely. It says that he was alone. And the reason that that was deficient in God's eyes was that Adam alone did not reflect the glory of the triune creator. And so Eve was created not to solve Adam's loneliness, but to solve his aloneness and to bring a equal to him with whom he could relate, love, communicate, and enjoy that relationship, even as God the Father enjoys the inner Trinitarian relationships. And so in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sin against God, we see that immediately there is a change in their relationship vertically with God. They feel naked. They feel naked. They clothe themselves. And there is a break in their horizontal relationships with one another. I think that's when loneliness began in creation, was when Adam and Eve sinned. And so part of my burden is for people to realize that loneliness is not a sin. It is the result of sin, and it indicates that something that we were made to enjoy and to harmonize has been broken, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. So I urge in the book us to view loneliness as an indicator, maybe like hunger or thirst, where, you know, we don't view being hungry as being a sin. We see it as indicating something's missing. I need food for my hunger. I go eat something. I'm thirsty. I go drink something. Loneliness is not the presence of something, but the indication of the absence of something that I am made to have and to enjoy. And so redeeming our loneliness then begins by understanding why we feel this way. I am made for harmonized relationship with God and others. The reason it hurts is that God gave that ache a prick. It's a gift. Like hunger kind of hurts too, but that's a gift as well. And if we can look at our loneliness as a gift and understand why we feel that way, we've taken the first step to redeeming our loneliness.
Who would you say is lonely, Steve?
Well, I would say all of us are lonely in various ways and in different degrees. We will not be rid of loneliness until Christians are redeemed in the new creation. So we live in this already not yet where, yes, we've been restored to God, but Paul says we look through a glass, you know, dimly and darkly. We're not quite yet all that that relationship's going to be. And even our relationships with other people, our closest friends, our spouses, our family, are not 100% harmonized, and yet someday they will be. So all of us experience loneliness, and all of us struggle with that. None of us like it. All of us crave a time when we are harmonized vertically and horizontally. There's like this ancient memory of what it was like for Adam that's in our DNA. And this future longing for what it will be someday when everything has been redeemed, including loneliness.
And so because there's that aching, there's longing, we want to try and fix that because it's not pleasant. Like you said, it's a prick. It doesn't feel good. And you talk about it here. And how would some people try to fix that? So there's some people, they try and self-medicate to fix this loneliness. And I think it's important to kind of just even think about how we do that as humans. What are some ways that we as humans would try to fix that loneliness?
Well, I assume you're asking biblical ways because the unhealthy ways are all around us. People will...
Yeah, what are some unhealthy ways?
Well, people will sexualize their loneliness. They will monetize their loneliness. They will try to marry away their loneliness. They will look to other people to solve the hurt and expect them to do things that other people simply cannot do. I think of Augustine, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And, you know, Ecclesiastes says it well. He tried all those things seeking satisfaction, and none of them ultimately satisfied.
Meaningless. Yeah.
So I would say the biblical way to get rid of our loneliness, or at least to redeem our loneliness, brings us to the person of Jesus and his work on the cross. I have a whole chapter in the book about gospelizing your loneliness. And what I mean by that is that loneliness is indicating that something is not healthy in our vertical or horizontal relationships. So rather than finding somebody that can solve our loneliness, which is what people oftentimes do, they go to a church and they think, I hope I meet somebody that fixes my loneliness. Or they go to the singles gathering, or they go to the, you know, the bar or whatever. I hope to meet somebody that will fix my loneliness. I propose the inversion of that, that the only way that we rid or redeem loneliness is that we have to give it away. We have to give it away. I think of Jesus. There he is on the cross, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? An ultimate moment of loneliness for Jesus there on the cross. And yet, it is also an example of love. Jesus gives everything. He gives it all away. He gives his life away for us. And for Christians then, who understand the gospel and have embraced the gospel of Jesus, we have a paradigm for how to rid our loneliness. Essentially, it is to follow Jesus' example and to give of ourselves to others. We redeem our loneliness by trying to fix other people's loneliness. Or to say it this way, the love of God through us mitigates loneliness in us. This is the inversion of what people, again, typically try to do. They try to fix their loneliness by addition, and I'm urging to fix the loneliness by subtraction. Like, give it away. Give the love that you long for. I also would say it this way, that loneliness is, it's not about having a person in your life. It's about sacrificing for somebody in your life. That's where I think even pets sometimes help people. You know, to have a pet in your life is to, you know, at the very least, you've got to live a little bit for that pet. You got to think about that pet. You got to, you know, feed it and take care of it and take it to the vet occasionally. And in doing so, I am living for something other than myself. And as we live for others, and as we give ourselves to others, all of a sudden we have a hard time finding our loneliness. Where did it go? As we seek to meet the lonely needs of other people. So I look to Jesus as the example, and the gospel as the paradigm. It's essentially what Jesus told us as well. You know, take up your cross and follow me. If you want your life, lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll gain it. And loneliness is like that. We lose our loneliness by giving of ourselves. And by doing that, we gain the blessing of harmony with God, harmony with others, and a life lived sacrificially. So I think the book is a good read, but the application has lots of challenges to it, because it causes us to die to self, to die to pride, to humble ourselves, and to get out there washing feet. And as Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. And one of the blessings of giving ourselves to others is that we don't struggle with loneliness like we otherwise would.
Now, Steve, you say you fix loneliness by subtraction, not addition. And we kind of started things. We've been talking a little bit a while here. We haven't really talked about singleness and loneliness. And I imagine a few people in their minds, they equate those two things, singleness and loneliness. But you just said, I'm not going to solve my loneliness by addition. In other words, getting married. Can you maybe just unpack that a little bit to some people? You know, we just tend to think that way. Singles are lonely, you get married, and it fixes things.
Well, there's a lot of lonely married people who would disagree with that. And I think it's important to understand categories. So you have loneliness, which is bad, aloneness, which is neutral, and solitude, which is good. Oftentimes we equate aloneness with loneliness, and those are not the same thing. Also, we will have people that try to fix their loneliness by marrying husband or wife A, and then they move to B, and then they move to C. And that's what I'm saying, is that if we view by addition a cure for our loneliness, we will remain lonely. In fact, I would say some of the most discouraged lonely people are married people, because they hoped their marriage or even having kids would fix that problem. I think about widows similarly, that have suffered the loss of a loved one, and our hearts certainly go out to them. And you know, there's a special kind of loneliness with that kind of aloneness as well. But aloneness is not bad. Adam was not lonely prior to Eve. Aloneness can be good. And there are a lot of married people that would like a little more alone time, probably. D. James Kennedy used to say that most of his counseling was single people who wanted to get married and married people who wanted to be single. And so we see in that the human heart cannot be satisfied by things or by relationships this side of eternity. Our core issue is finding our satisfaction in God, understanding who we are in Christ, and giving ourselves away to other people. And that's where I think marriage, if there's an advantage to being married, you have a built-in person to sacrifice for, to think about, to live for their needs, to accommodate to. And as we do that in marriage, it does alleviate loneliness, because no matter if you're married or lonely, living for somebody else will alleviate that loneliness. But singleness does not mean loneliness, and marriage does not mean the absence of loneliness. It is sacrificing for others that mitigates our loneliness. So no matter what category you're in, that's what we should be doing if we want to redeem our loneliness.
Okay, that's one way to redeem our loneliness. Is that the only way? Maybe give us another tip or two that you could share.
Sure, I'll offer a few tips. And again, none of these are absolutes. These are just things that I've learned along the way. The number one hindrance in overcoming loneliness is pride. The more prideful we are, the more lonely we likely will be. Humility and the virtues that go along with humility are certainly part of the cure for loneliness. And so I would encourage an honest look in the mirror and to ask, am I lonely because I am self-centered, or I push people away because of my self-orientation? Am I prideful? Repent of that. Ask God to forgive you for that. Be reminded that you're a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. All the things the gospel does, they humble us. I would also say that sometimes we're lonely because of relational idiosyncrasies that keep people away. And I would say if you have a trusted mentor or somebody that knows you and you respect their opinion, why not go to them and say, listen, I would like deeper relationships with other people. You know me well. What do you see in me that is hindering quality, healthy relationships with other people? Listen to what they have to say. You might learn something that might help you redeem your loneliness. I would also, thirdly, say that it's important to understand, you know, to find loneliness in the redemptive story. I did a little bit of this earlier in the broadcast, like where did loneliness come from? It came from sin in Genesis 3. Why do I feel this way? I'm made in the image of God. How do I redeem my loneliness? I look to the cross in Jesus. And also to realize that someday we won't be lonely anymore. And all of the kind of isolating and relational hiding and the things that are barriers to the kind of harmony that our souls crave with God and others, all of that will be removed. Someday, thankfully, we won't feel lonely at all ever again. And we certainly all look forward to that day.
Steve, thanks for sharing your heart on this issue, an issue that we all grapple with from time to time. It sounds weird to say, but it's been refreshing to look at loneliness, but from a biblical perspective, and see the good that can actually come from pain. And to those in our listening audience, I'd encourage you to get a copy of Pastor Steve's brand new book that set the stage for this conversation. Again, it's called Loneliness, Don't Hate It or Waste It, Redeem It. It's just been released nationwide, and you can request a copy online at thejourney.fm. Well, Steve, it's been great talking to you today. Would you mind closing us in prayer?
Certainly. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God, that you made us for yourself. Lord, we see how sin has created so many barriers, and we suffer so many results of that, including loneliness. Lord, I pray for the person who is lonely in the hearing of this broadcast. I pray that they would find hope for redeeming that loneliness, first in the person of Jesus and the gospel, but also in your good work in us as you conform us to the likeness of your Son. We look forward to the day where someday we won't be lonely ever again. Until then, help us to not be lonely together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to The Journey, and we've been enjoying a conversation with Pastor Steve DeWitt and a sneak peek at his brand new book and upcoming series titled Loneliness. We hope you'll join us in the coming days as we begin this brand new study. And we hope you'll request a copy of this insightful book to read alongside the series. You can request your copy when you give a gift of any amount to The Journey. And you can do so by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-7-7-5-6-8-7-6-3, or by giving online at thejourney.fm. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda. Join us next time for more teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.